we're in a sugya of the whole fascinating relationship between the melucha of Yehuda, right? Lo Yasser Shevim Yehuda, which is actually this week's parsha, the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gives Yehuda, is that he will have the melucha, the kingdom, and all kings are supposed to come from him. And we discussed the fascinating problems with the Chashmonaim, who were Kohanim. They were from Shevet Levi, and they were kings, and they were literally wiped off the face of the map. A very sad end to the Hanukkah legacy. And then we also pointed out this whole idea of Yosef. Yosef seems to have some role in Klal Yisrael, where everyone has to bow to him. And we explained that even though the Malucha is by Yehuda, but Yosef has a role, and we'll see it when Mashiach comes. There's going to be a Mashiach ben Yosef that gets things going before Mashiach ben David. Chazal say that he's actually supposed to die because there's a limit to what Mashiach ben Yosef can do, and you're actually supposed to daven for him to be able to, some of the Mekubalim write in Yerushalayim, Ircha, to daven that Mashiach ben Yosef should make his way through. But and that has a lot to do with the struggle of Kedusha that's going on in the generation. The reason Mashiach ben Yosef dies, so to speak, is because we need help in our avodah of Yosef HaTzadik, and we need Mashiach ben David to like take over and help us out. It's a fascinating sugya. But we're not going to continue that sugya, even though I told you we would, because we missed last week and the show must go on. So we're going to go now and discuss another fundamental, we call this Parsha Fundamentals, where we educate on, firsthand, we see the sources inside on things that we should know about, things we should understand. And I'd like to delve into a fascinating sugya today, which is the sugya of Yaakov Avinu Lo Meis. It's from this week's parsha. Did Yaakov, in fact, die or did he not die? And this is a fascinating issue. And it also is going to teach us how to learn agaritas. In general, we're always faced with a problem in a Gemara or a Medrash, whether to take the Medrash literally or not. And the truth is that it's not clear when you're supposed to and when you're not. It's not like, a really tzmimistiki guy might think to take everything literally because Torah is emes and whatever it says has to be true. But that's not the case. A lot of times Chazal are speaking in allegory, in mashal. They sometimes, the Vilna Gaon writes things that are so strange in order to get people to close the book, to protect the secrets of the Torah. The weirdest midrashim and the weirdest gemaras are actually hiding the biggest secrets of Kabbalah, and as a protection device, they actually make it look so strange that someone who has no idea what's talking about is just going to laugh it off and close it up. It's a fascinating thing. So of course those things should not be taken literally, because Chazal even made them exaggerated, bizarre. And it's frightening when you open up, when you tap into the secrets of these Chazals, you can't believe that Chazal were able to do this, right? Like some sort of wild tale that is teaching you how Hashem runs the world and gets all these people to laugh, but at the other, it's a protection device for the Torah. So whenever you come to one of these Gemaras that seems like very, very strange, you should know that some of the deepest parts of the Torah are there, and Chazal tricked you again. They tricked you again. But one Chazal we have here, the Gemara itself is bothered by the implications of it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yaakov Avinu Lo Meis. It's a Gemara in Tainus. We have some people who learn Tainus here, no? Who learned Tainus here? Because it was in the, was it part of the Kenyan Masechta? Right, the Kenyan Masechta. So instead, I could call on you to say it Baal Peh, but I don't want to. I don't want to give you gaiva, so I'm going to read it. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yaakov Avinu Lo Meis." The Gemara says a drastic statement. Yaakov Avinu never died. Then the Gemara asks, "Amar Lei V'chi B'chdi Saftus Vanya V'chantuk Antaya." They gave him hespedim, right? There was a levaya. Everybody went back to Eretz Yisrael. There was a big recession, right? Gantz has paid him. They embalmed him, right? They mummified him. You know, in those days, mummies, right? Yaakov Avinu was mummified. You know, those freaky things that the mummies, they had a certain chachma back then to preserve bodies. They did that. They were chantuoso. That was considered the spitz of what Mitzrayim could offer, is to prevent decomposing of the bodies. To this day, I believe there are excavations that still find, can anyone corroborate this, that they still find preservation of bodies from Mitzrayim. It's an amazing thing. Anyway, this was done. Vikavru Kivraya, they put him in the ground. Amr Le, he said back, Rav Yochanan didn't flinch. Mikra ani dorish. I'm darshening a pasuk. You're telling me that Yaakov Avinu died, he was buried, that has paid him? Mikra ani dorish. I'm darshening a pasuk. Meaning, get out of my way. Don't tell me what happened. I have a pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Vata al tira avdi Yaakov numa shem v'altachas Yisrael gihinani mashiach amirach v'zarach meretz shavim makashu lizaro. There's a hekesh to Zaro. Just like his kids are alive, Baruch Hashem, we're all here. We're B'nai Yaakov. So too, Yaakov never died. So I remember hearing from my Rebbe, one of these great moments, and some beautiful memories of my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal. And it was clear to me that he liked this question very much. He said, imagine somebody, how did they know that Yaakov Avinu died? Can anyone tell me how they knew? How did they know? What? Yeah, you said something before that. You said it said.
Yeah.
Where did it say? The pasuk. Thank you. It says in the pasuk that he died. It's not like somebody was at the Leviah. Okay, listen to this. This is incredible. It says that he died in the pasuk. That means the Torah says he died. What? It says that they were choned oto. They were soved oto. They went to Eretz Yisrael. It says Vayigva. Okay, Vayigva means die. It means to expire. We're going to get into that. There's a chop over here, but the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara assumes, the Gemara doesn't say Vayamas, but the Gemara says they were Kovaroso. Definitely says they buried him. They buried him, right? And it says they were Masvinim. And the word Vayigva means to expire. But Yaakov is onto something. But I don't want to, you know, you're never supposed to give away the exciting part of the end. However, it's very significant what Yaakov is saying, that the lashon for dying over here is expiration. It's like, you know, on your milk, the expiration date. What?
What's the word they use by all the others?
Yeah, yeah. But we'll talk about that when it's we'll see there is a lashon misa by Yaakov Avinu. But let's go slow, okay? So now, you hear the problem over here? Rabbi Yochanan's coming and he's saying Yaakov didn't die. It's not like now we're coming and saying, I'm a balabas and I was at the funeral procession and don't tell me, Rabbi. They're quoting Psukim. Psukim, right? Gershi, you have the Psukim in front of you? Yeah. You want to read them for us? Do you mind? So, okay, keep going. Okay.
Here.
Gave him a kiss, okay. Anything more? You see any... So he was embalmed, that's Chanita. You're going to see a lashon soon. Okay, keep going. Okay, there was a Gantz of Maisa here, right? Yeah. Anything more? Mace! Yaakov, I was waiting. Boom. So the Mefarshim say, even though it doesn't say mace by when he died, but there's still a report.
He says, I will die?
No, my father died.
It says his father told him.
Right, but it's Lashon Misa. So the Rishonim say, Yaakov. Yaakov's a tough cookie. He's the Shem and Lamora champion. But it still says Lashon Misa. It says it a few more times in the Psukim, which means that even the impression, the Rishonim explained that even the brothers thought he died, because it says Misa. So now what do we do, right? This is a big problem. So then what does Rabbi Yochanan explain? What's the Lashon? He says, Mikra ani doirish. What does that mean? When you're doirish something, what does it mean? What? You bring out. Said my Rebbe from the Chidushei Arim, from the Halakha Gera Rebbe, and it's very rare that he quoted Chassidish Svarim, so it was always very exciting. It means he really liked it. He said that Yaakov Avinu didn't die in Pshat. He died in Drash. Yaakov Avinu died in Pshat. In Pshat he died. But in Drash he was still alive. What does that mean? He was living in Drush. What does that mean? He actually said that the world is also Torah, and there's a Pshat in the world. Like when you see something, when you were at the Levaya of Yaakov Avinu, he died in Pshat. But there's the world also has Drash. Just like the Torah has Drash, the world has Drash. And Yaakov lives in the world of Drash. Whoa. That sounds very deep. So I would like to try to explain a few approaches to what it means, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. You hear the problem over here? The problem over here is that Yaakov Avinu died in the Psukim. He was reported to have died. The Rishonim say that even the brothers were under the impression that he died. And now all of a sudden Rabbi Yochanan says he didn't die. And this is also going to be a lesson for us of how to deal with agaritas and deal with problems where some things maybe didn't exactly happen that way and how to interpret them in a way that they should. Yeah.
What does drush mean?
Drush means the fancy English word, which is not going to help you at all, but that's a cool word, is exegesis. Right? That doesn't do anything, but it's good. It'll impress, you know, if you're going on a date and use that word, you know, that'll sound like you're very, like you know what you're talking about. Drash means like this. I'll explain to you the way my Rebbe explained it to me. What does it mean? The Pasuk says, Tzion hi, doirish ein la. Tzion, Eretz Yisrael, has nobody being doirish it. What does it mean to be doirish Tzion? No one's looking out for Eretz Yisrael. What does doirish mean? More passionate, more like, Eretz Yisrael, no one's really
pursuing it.
Yeah, like interested in it. When you're interested in Torah, Nisana, when you're interested in Torah, you squeeze the Torah from deeper meaning. That's called drash, and that's why we're in a base medrash. The base medrash is a place where we squeeze the Torah for what it's meaning. So the Chiddush Arim says that in the world of drash, in the deeper world, even here on planet Earth, Yaakov Avinu never died. I would like to try to explain this incredible concept, and I'm so happy I'm here to do this today. So let's start slow. Slow or fast? What should we do? All right, let's start slow. There's a Tshuvas HaRashba. The Tshuvas HaRashba, and this is, for those who have not heard of this Sefer, this is called Yisodei HaTorah. It was put out by Rav Lupiansky, who became very famous recently for putting out a Ben Torah for Life. This is a book of Yisodos, so I like to use it for fundamentals because this is a Sefer that collected fundamental ideas. So if anyone wants to find some of the Mara Makomas can be found in this Sefer. So he brings the Tshuvas HaRashba. The Tshuvas, it's actually in Chidushi Agados and Tainus and Daf Hei. And the Rashba says like this. We had, if you remember, we've been doing a theme over the whoever was here, which is at least 75% of the people who are here every week. And for the people who are new, welcome, and we'll catch you up a little bit. That each one of the Avos had something wrong with what they were trying to achieve. Avraham, where was the flaw in Avraham? Where was it seen? Good, Yishmael. Yitzchak, and what he was trying to achieve, what was the flaw? Esav. Yaakov was the first one to produce pure, not from concentrate, right? Klal Yisrael. He's the only one who created the Shiftei Ka, right? That was the greatest achievement. Yaakov is called Kadosh, we explained, right? Yaakov Avinu, everything about him is movement to the future. Esav is a dud. No offense to Esav. I mean offense, actually. Esav's a dud. Yishmael's a dud. They're here today, gone tomorrow. They're going to either be our avadim or wiped off the face of the planet. Whatever it is. But there's no chiyus. There's no life to Esav and Yishmael. That means Avraham was not successful in completely moving forward in life. He was only successful from his son Yitzchak. Yitzchak was not fully successful in moving forward in life. He wasn't successful because of Esav. He was successful, but he wasn't. I mean, he was successful in one part of it. Who was the one who was completely successful, that his entire legacy will never stop? Yaakov Avinu. And says the Tshuvas HaRashba, or the Chidush HaRashba and Tainis, he says that that's called Chayim, life. When you have a legacy that doesn't stop in any which way, that means you're completely alive. If you have kids who all of them, Baruch Hashem, stay on the derech and don't veer, and entirely, everything you invested in your life, right, we said, Yaakov Avinu's first tipas zera. What happened with Yaakov the first time he had zera? Where did it go to? It was created at Reuven. Reuven was from that, and that's a nes. Every person biologically is not zocha to such a thing. It's natural phenomena that a person is not. Yaakov Avinu was zocha mirov kedushaso, that was his metzias. So Yaakov Avinu was entirely alive. So that's a very drushy explanation of Yaakov Avinu still being alive. So in the base medrash of the Tshuvas HaRashba, we're not really seeing Yaakov walking around the streets, right? We're just seeing that Yaakov's life never stopped. Today, all of us in this room are B'nai Yaakov. B'nai Yaakov. We're complete chiyus. He doesn't stop through all the way to Mashiach. Everything he invested in was built and went forward. But so he says the Tshuvas HaRashba, if you see someone creates things that never die, that means they're alive in some way. Even if you don't understand how, but it means they never die. Because anything that dies peters out. Something that never dies doesn't peter out. Which means in some way, Yaakov Avinu never died. Now I want to explain this a little bit. And we're going to get into a very fundamental point about understanding our bodies. Our bodies. Okay? This is the question, okay? This is now based on mostly Rabbeinu Bechai. Rabbeinu Bechai is a Talmud of the Ramban, opens up things, makes things from the Ramban's base medrash much more accessible. Yaakov Avinu, says the Rabbeinu Bechai, never died. His physical body was buried. However, Yaakov did not need a physical body. Yaakov Avinu had a body that was also, it was so kadosh that it could cover the neshama, and it had no physical properties. They buried his physical body, but it didn't stop him from still being alive and being able to go up and down from Shemayim to come visit whenever he wanted. And he brings an example in Gemara. This is going to be worth 500 points, not for incentives, just for my official 500 points. Maybe I'll give you a kiss or something. 500 points. Who was the Tana who was able to go up and down from Shemayim? There was a Tana who was able to go up and down. I said a Tana. A Tana. What? I know what you're talking about. Michal is not off because Rabbi Kiva went up to parties. But there was a Tana who made Kiddush for his family on every Erev Shabbos. Until he got caught by a Shifko who was going to be Mefarsim. No. No. Guys, the none other, and it's not by coincidence, the author of the Mishnayos, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. What's his name? Rabbeinu Ha? Kadosh, is it a coincidence? Yaakov Avinu is called Kadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh is called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He said Rabbeinu HaKadosh also perfected his body to the extent. Amazing. And maybe that's how you get to be zocher to write the Mishnayos for Klal Yisrael. That he was able to go up and down until he got discovered. He stopped making Kiddush for his family. You know why? he was worried that people would start being mezalzel and all the other tzaddikim who are not able to go up and down like him. And in order to protect their kavod, he stayed up in Shemayim. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, this is incredible. He says that these people who reach such perfection, they can come in and out of this world. And it's interesting, the Vilna Gaon was greeted on Sukkot by Yaakov Avinu, and I always wondered, maybe it was Dafka Yaakov, because Yaakov, according to this, is all Yaakov Avinu is traveling around. Eliyahu HaNavi is a different discussion, and Chanoch, we'll talk about that. But there are Yaakov Avinu, according to Rabbeinu Bechai, and it's the base medrash of the Ramban, could be here. He never died. He died in his physical body. And I want to explain how this works, okay? We think that our body is physical. However, when Adam HaRishon was created, his body was not physical. It was not. The Mekubalim reveal this, and the Rambam does not have this in his base medrash. However, the Mekubalim reveal, Adam HaRishon's body was made of light. Aleph Vav Resh, or his body was made of light. And I don't mean like a light like this. I mean a holy light. We wouldn't be able to even see Adam HaRishon. I know that sounds upsetting. You thought if you go back in a time machine, you could watch him eat from the Eitz Hadas. No. Originally, his body was so holy that it was like a neshama. It was a suitcase for the neshama, but it was so pure that it wasn't even physical bichlal. That's the body that we're going to have when Mashiach comes. When la'asid lavo, we're going to be zocha to that type of body. That's what the Mekubalim say. And I'll tell you something that my Rebbe said, which is absolutely fascinating. The Rambam was very against this idea. The Rambam held, no way is the end game coming back to this body. Why? Because the Rambam held the body causes us such problems that there's no way that we're going to end up at the end game when everything's over and we're at the finish line back in this old body that loves pizza and hamburgers. It's not shaykh, because we're holy people. So he rejected this idea entirely. However, the Rambam was not privy to the base medrash of the Mekubalim. So what's pshat over here? How do we deal with it? Said my Rebbe a shocking thing. He said the Rambam and the Mekubalim are not disagreeing with each other. It's just the Rambam was missing one piece of information. The Rambam was looking at the body that we have today. And the Mekubalim also agree. Nobody's ever going to come back in this body that wants just pizza and burgers all day. That's not shaykh. However, there's a body that can be a suitcase for the neshama that doesn't hold us down. It just lets us fly upwards and upwards. And if the Rambam would have had such a body in his base medrash, from the Mekubalim, he would have agreed with the Mekubalim. The Lashon my Rebbe said, and this is a little bit, it's very, listen to this Lashon, I love this Lashon, I hope it'll be clear. He said that the body, listen to this Lashon, this is unbelievable. The body of the Mekubalim, meaning whatever they call the body, which we said is made of light and it's holy, and the neshama of the Rambam would say Shalom Aleichem to each other. They'd like each other. But the Rambam didn't have such a body. But really, there's no machlokas. Incredible. Only my Rebbe could come up with this, that everybody agrees then, essentially, because the Rambam had a different body. So what comes out is like this. Yaakov Avinu exists because he was so kaddish. He never died in drush. He died in pshat. Pshat means the external part of Yaakov Avinu's body, which was down here after the chet of Adam HaRishon. However, Yaakov Avinu's legacy and his continuum to be part of Klal Yisrael is Lomeis. And he actually says that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was Zocha to such a Madrega as well. And what I'd like to just end with is this is at least a lesson of how to approach Agadita. On the one hand, Agadita says sometimes things that seem like they can't be, right? They seem like they can't be. And here the Gemara itself has a stira. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says Yaakov Avinu was Yaakov Avinu was Lomeis, and the pasuk then tells us that Vayigva he expired, and all the brothers said he was embalmed, and he was buried. It could be actually coming back to Yaakov's observation. I just want to point out an insight based on what Yaakov said. Why did the Gemara not quote the pasuk Vayigva Yaakov? The Gemara recorded what Gershi said, which is that he was embalmed and he was, they said, hesped him and they buried him. The Gemara does not quote the Mefurish HaPasuk, Vayigva Yaakov, that he expired. The answer Rabbeinu Bachai is explaining is the word Vayigva means he just ended a period of time in his life. He expired. He expired just from his level of being around his family, being here that we could all see, but then he went into a new dimension of life. And there was really just like sort of a graduation of sorts. And this teaches us, a lot of times we read Agaritas and we like, we think this is ridiculous, this couldn't have been. And first of all, that's from our crumb cup of that we only believe sometimes we're influenced by the outside world, that if we can't see something with our physical eyes, it doesn't exist. But even sometimes the pshat is different than we think. Chazal are hiding something much deeper. And even over here, this is one place where you actually see in the Gemara the tension. Did he die? Didn't he die? Estirim Sukkim. Says the Chidush Arim, he existed in Drash. And this is a good hakdama to Shovavim, which is that the whole goal of life is to live elevated, to not let our bodies bring us down, to try to be above. And even though we're not Yaakov, we're from the Zera of Yaakov. And the Zera of Yaakov is his legacy. As much as we can live elevated lives, live that our bodies shouldn't bog us down, but we should bring our bodies up for the ride with the neshama, as much as we can do that in our lifetime, we are Matzliach Ezera Yaakov Avinu.